Welcome to the weekly service message from the Crossbridge Church. Look for us on the web at www.crossbridgeny.org. Join us now as Pastor Nate Young delivers this week's message.
As you're aware, we're spending the first 3 weeks of, the last week of the last year, last year's last week. We were in Psalm chapter 1. So today we're going to be in Psalm chapter 2. Next week we'll be in Psalm chapter 3. We've entitled this sermon series, Wisdom for a New Year. And in this particular sermon, I've entitled it, The Real Danger in 2022. You see, over the last 2 years, we've been told there are many dangerous things that we should be concerned about. Everything from border security and terrorism to loss of jobs and inflation and, of course, the coronavirus. And although these things pose a type of danger, they're not the most dangerous thing that a person could find themselves caught in. The most dangerous thing a person can do is rebel against the plan of God. Now, before you're quick to dismiss this thought that you would rebel against the plan of God, let's think about it for a minute. Rebellion seems to have a connotation of someone shaking their fist at God and telling him no, but let me suggest that most rebellion is more subtle than that. Parents, we know how this works, right? You ask your child to do something and they pretend like they never heard you. They just keep doing what they're doing. They might not openly tell you no, or maybe some of you have rebellious, extra rebellious children, and they tell you no right to your face. But in most cases, they would just pretend like they didn't hear what you said. They just keep doing what they want to do. Now, think about your own life in relationship to the plan of God. Specifically, the plan of God revealed in the Word of God. You see, the Bible is clear. Let me give you a for instance. The Bible is clear. Once we are Christians, we're to guard our hearts and be careful what we allow in our hearts and minds. But how many times have you or I listened to or watched something knowing that it has things in it that don't honor the Lord and isn't good to have in our hearts and minds? In effect, what we're saying is that God's way is not the best way, that we know better than God. You see, rebellion is a belief and a behavior that acts as if we know better than God, so we don't have to follow his plan. You see, the truth is we might not see rebelling against the plan of God as something as serious as we should. Let me just say it as clear as I possibly can. You cannot have areas of your life where you are living against the plan of God consistently and call yourself a Christian. You see, rebellion against God and his plan comes with consequences, but loving and serving the Lord brings a blessing. With this in mind, I want to invite you to stand for a reading from the Word of God. Psalm chapter 2, starting in verse 1, says this. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree, the Lord said to me. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them into pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. This is a reading from the Word of God. You may be seated. One of the things that we're going to notice right away in this particular passage is this discussion between these two different types of kings. This psalm appears to be written by David, but there's another type of king that's discussed here in this passage. There is a king who is great, in which the whole world is his possession, and he rules the entire earth with a rod of iron. The first three verses of chapter 2 are quoted in Acts chapter 4, verses 25 through 27. Here in this particular passage in Acts chapter 4, quoting verses 1 through 3 shows us that the king that's being discussed here in Psalm chapter 2 is not just King David, but King Jesus. And that in fact, those who make war against God are making war against Jesus and his kingship. They gather together, this text tells us, in rage, and they plot together as if a violent upheaval. The kings of the earth themselves and the rulers take counsel together, it says, against the Lord and against his anointed. They're doing something in particular. It says that they're plotting. It's very interesting in this particular chapter. The same word that's used here for plot in verse 1 is the same word that's used in chapter 1, verse 2. It's the word meditate. So the rulers and the kings have gathered together to consider a plan that they're going to plot against the Lord and his anointed. Verse 2 tells us that the people, these people of great power, are against the Lord, and together they consider against him. But verse 3 is a verse that we need to take close attention to in these particular verses. In verse 3, the thing that they say to each other is, let's burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. What they're saying in these particular verses is that they believe that the Lord and his anointed have put them in bonds and tied them in cords, that his plan and his rule are comparable to being put in prison. We see in another time in which this phrase is used in Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 5. In that particular chapter, what we see is a discussion about the rebellion of the nation of Israel, that they've been given clear instruction by the Lord. There are clear things that they're supposed to do to follow his kingship. And instead of doing so, it says the same phrase, they have burst their bonds and cast away their cords. What this verse is meant to show here and in Jeremiah chapter 5 is a rebellion and a lack of repentance for their sin against God. As we continue on in this particular chapter, we first have seen rebellion as at the heart of worldly thinking. That rebellion against God and his plan is at the very heart of worldly thinking. But what we're going to find in the next three verses, in verses 4 through 6, is that man's rebellion cannot change the plans of God. You see in verse 4, it says, he who sits in the heavens laughs. Psalm 37, verse 13, paints a similar picture for us. It says, but the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he sees that his day is coming. Have you ever wondered if sometimes we look silly to God? We must, right? Because there are times that we even look silly to each other. Most of us have had that experience where someone older and wiser has given us good advice and we just didn't take it, only to have it backfire on us. That person had wisdom that we didn't. But think about this in terms of God. God has all the knowledge and all the wisdom that's ever been available ever. He is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows all things from all time. And he's given us in his word the best way how to live. And all too often, we don't take this wisdom from his word, and we live contrary to what his word says, only to have it backfire on us. So there must be times that we look silly to him. But in this case, God laughs at those who are trying to oppose him. I can only imagine how this appears to God, that someone with the unlimited ability and wisdom like us would think for a second that we have the ability to outthink and outplan and overpower God. Friends, there is no person or no collection of people in the world, in the history of the world, that has the power to outthink, outplan, or overpower God. This passage tells us how he sees those that oppose him. It tells us that he holds them in derision. That in a sense, he scoffs at their attempts to try to overpower him. But that's not all that God does. That's not all that God does in reaction to those who oppose him. Look at verse 5. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury. And he's going to say something specific here. This wrath that's being communicated is the divine anger of God. And this is a term that has become almost completely absent in much of modern Christianity. Because God and his holiness has been separated from God and his love. You see, in much of modern Christianity, the only aspect of God that's discussed is his love, not his holiness. You see, God is wrathful towards sin because he is perfectly holy and cannot tolerate sin. If a person does not repent of their sin, they will suffer the wrath of God. Remember, we've already said there is no person who is powerful enough or group powerful enough to thwart the plan of God, and the plan of God is to punish sin in his wrath. But listen, friends, the opposite of this is true too, that in the love of God, even though he is perfectly holy, and although he will merit out his wrath, he has made a way in which for those of us who have repented of our sin, there is no wrath for us as believers. If you have repented of your sin, then the wrath of God was absorbed on the cross for you. He paid the price for your sin by suffering. Jesus paid the price for your sin by suffering the wrath of God on the cross at Calvary. Friends, this is an incredible truth. That when God comes to bring his wrath upon a world that has rejected him and attempted to push away his kingship, we as his children will be protected from his wrath by the blood of Jesus Christ. But for those who are left to suffer the wrath of God, this should be terrifying. It says so much here in verse 5. He will terrify them in his fury. You see, the wrath of God should terrify anyone who sees how far God will go to punish sin. God will punish sin in one of two ways. It has already been punished, or it's already been paid on the cross of Calvary, which, just think about that for a second. That the payment for our sin, because of the severity of our sin and the holiness of God, had to be the blood of Jesus Christ. The only acceptable payment for my sin and your sin to avoid the wrath of God was the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. The other way in which the wrath of God is merited out onto those who do not repent of their sin is eternity in hell. The wrath of God is either covered by the blood of Jesus or dispensed in hell for all eternity. You see, the wrath of God should be terrifying in his fury. The picture that's being painted here is one of burning anger. because fire is the most destructive force known to the readers. But even though they've tried to thwart his plan, look what he says in verse 6 of Psalm chapter 2. As for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. Zion was a stronghold of the Jebusites, was captured by David and made his residence. If you want to read more about that, there's a couple places you can read. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 7, or 1 Chronicles 11, 5. Would have been on the south part of the eastern hill of Jerusalem. It was distinct from the temple. Again, you can read about that in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 1. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 2. But here's the point. Many nations tried to stop God's plan from having his people get to the promised land. They tried to stop David the king and the nation of Israel from establishing his throne in Jerusalem, but because it was God's plan, they couldn't. Many thought they were stopping the plan of God by killing Christ. But friends, turn with me over to Acts chapter 4. You need to see this. Acts chapter 4, verse 27. If you remember what happens in Acts chapter 4, let's make sure we understand the context. Peter and John have been brought before the council. They're brought before the council to be rebuked for preaching the gospel. They're told they should not preach the gospel any longer. They're told they're ordered to spread no further among the people. They warn them to speak no more to anyone in the name of Christ. Peter and John answer and say, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot speak of what we have seen and heard. So they reject this rebuke because of all that they've seen and heard. If you look down at verse 25, you'll notice Psalm chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 is quoted here. It says, for though through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered around them against the Lord and against his anointed. Here they're reminding us and reminding themselves that all throughout history, people have tried to thwart the plan of God, starting with the devil in the Garden of Eden, all the way to this point in which the council is trying to prevent the gospel from going forward. And look what they say in verse 27. For truly in this city there was gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. So pause for a second. For truly in this city there were gathered together amongst your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel. Listen to verse 28, friends. To do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. Brothers and sisters, even in resisting the plan of God, people do the plan of God. This is one of those truths I have a hard time getting my mind around. Because when I think about 2020 in terms of the Lord and his plan, I know that there are going to be many people who try to resist the plan of God. But brothers and sisters, our God is so powerful that even in attempting to resist the plan of God, people will do the plan of God. There is no one who exists outside of the power of God to accomplish his plan. Amen? Turn back over to Psalm chapter 2. Look at verse 7. What we find here in verse 7 is that there was a decree that was given. Before we get to that, let me just suggest to you to rebel against the Lord is to suffer the punishment of his king. Now in verse 7, we find that there was this decree given. The next line tells us what that decree was. And we find out that the Lord is speaking to the Davidic king that he calls his son. Now this is not unusual for David to be called God's son. He does this in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 14. But let me say to you that this decree cannot be extended to just David, that it actually has a larger scope than just King David, because this decree shows the elevation of the Davidic king to a special status. And what is that status? He says in verse 8, "Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession." You see, this special status is universal dominion with the whole earth as his personal property. Although King David's was one of the largest kingdoms in the history of Israel, it never encompassed the whole earth. You see, but friends, there is a king coming after King David who will establish his kingdom that will encompass the whole earth forever and ever. He continues in verse 9 to show the power of this Davidic king. The text tells us that he has a scepter made of iron. This is meant to show his sovereign power. The text tells us that this iron scepter, this representation of the power that he has, will be used to destroy those who oppose him. In fact, before the awesome power of the king, the nations will be like fragile pottery. Now, I hope that you see this picture that's being painted here. It's almost one that's hard to get out of your mind. Because if we're not careful, we'll start to see God as evil and vindictive. Because in this passage, you've got God laughing at people who've opposed him, while the king with an iron scepter smashes the world into a billion pieces. But friends, we have to understand that as a just, right, holy king, he cannot be opposed and go unpunished. Those who oppose him cannot go unpunished. This language of an iron scepter may start to charge some passages in your mind, may potentially even take you to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, verse 27, chapter 12, verse 5, and maybe the most famous, Revelation 19, 15, speak of Jesus with this iron rod, this iron scepter. When Christ returns to be the king, verse 15 of Revelation 9 tells us, "From his mouth comes a sharp sword which will strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty." Friends, I don't envy our politicians. I don't envy those who are in power. I don't envy the decisions they have to make. But I think we can collectively agree they're not doing a great job. I am ready for King Jesus. Aren't you? Amen. I am ready for a king who makes no wrong decisions, who merits out justice perfectly, who takes care of his loyal servants exactly as he says he's going to. I am ready for the Lord to return. But friends, lest we get the wrong picture of the Lord, let's finish out Psalm chapter 2 with this understanding of this incredible balanced nature of who the Lord actually is. You see, what we find in these particular verses, verses 10 through 12, is to serve the Lord. The service of the Lord comes with blessing. Look what he does in verse 10. He says, "Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth." In these final verses, friends, we must see the mercy of the Lord. The Lord speaks directly to these kings and rulers who have rebelled against his plan. He speaks to them a warning, and he gives them another chance. We must see the incredible patience and compassion of the Lord here. As the ruler of the universe, he has every right to destroy those who oppose him, but he doesn't. Instead, he lets them know that they have time to turn away from their rebellion. He is giving them a chance to submit to his correction before the punishment comes. Verse 11, he calls upon them to submit to the Lord by paying tribute to the king. It says, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Rejoice with trembling is a clear call to repentance. They now know what happens to those who resist. It doesn't end well for them. And he's giving them the opportunity to repent of the wrongs that they've committed and serve the Lord. It says in verse 12, kiss the son. This is almost like kiss the ring. It's a sign of honor and respect. We find out that although the Lord is patient, that patience has an end, and it may come sooner than we think. Friend, if you're watching from home today, or you're here today and you do not know the Lord as your Savior, let me plead with you. If you do not know the Lord as your Savior, you are in active rebellion against the God of the universe. Turn from your rebellion against God. On our own, we cannot save ourselves. On our own, we do not know the best way to live. We need God. We need his word and the power of his Holy Spirit to get to heaven. We need God, and we need his word and the power of the Holy Spirit to live in a way that is pleasing to him. But friends, brothers and sisters, Christians, we're going to face many things in 2022. We're going to face good times, and we're going to face hard times. I believe in 2022, it's not going to get any easier to be a Christian. I believe it's going to increasingly get harder to follow Christ until the Lord returns. And I think this passage, in tandem with Acts chapter 4, gives us a great pattern on how to handle what might come in the next year. If you turn with me back over to Acts chapter 4, I want to give you three things to meditate on in this new year, that no matter what comes, whether it's persecution for your faith, physical difficulty, financial difficulty, no matter what it is, I want to give you three things out of the book of Acts here. Remember again this context, they're being specifically persecuted for teaching about Christ. Listen to what they do in response to this persecution. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 24. How do they respond? And when they heard it, they lifted up their voices together to God and said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in it. The first thing that we have to do in 2022 to face danger to God's glory is to confess and trust his sovereign power. We must confess and trust his sovereign power. He continues on. We've already read this again, but I think it's important for us to read it in context. Who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in the city they were gathered together again, your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. Again, believe and trust his sovereign power. And now look upon their threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. There's two things that I want you to see here. One, pray for the boldness to keep doing the plan of God. Their first response when they gather together about or after they're threatened by the council is to join together in prayer. And the thing that they pray for is boldness to keep doing the plan of God even in the face of persecution. So friends, no matter what happens in this new year, we must pray for boldness to keep doing the plan of God. And a third one, first, believe and trust his sovereign power. Second, pray for boldness to keep doing the plan of God. Third, seems so simple, keep doing the plan of God. Specifically, the plan of God given in his word. The outworking of praying for boldness and trusting in God's sovereign power is to do what he's called us to do. But friends, I want to close out this sermon today by going back to Psalm chapter 2 one last time. I want you to see how this passage ends. Psalm chapter 2, verse 12, the last stanza ends this way. Blessed are all who take refuge in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, take hope. This passage ends with incredible words of hope for those who love and obey the plan of God. That as we follow the plan of God and love him with our lives, he is our refuge. He is our protection. He is our blessing. No matter what comes our way in 2022, no matter what dangers we face, we can trust that the Lord's way is the best way and that he will protect us and carry us all the way into his loving arms in heaven. Let us live each day of this new year with this confidence in Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we are so thankful for this reminder that although oftentimes to us things seem dangerous and out of control, that you are in control of all things. That even though there are those who would try to rebel and resist your plan, your will still be accomplished. Lord, help us to trust your sovereign power. Help us to continually pray for boldness and help us to continue to do your will, knowing that you are our refuge, that you will provide everything that we need. Lord, help us to not live this next year in fear. But help us to live this year with incredible confidence in who you are and what you've done for us. Lord, we pray for our church that you would give us the confidence that as we interact with others, that we would share the gospel and that we would see our church grow by conversion. Lord, we know there are millions and millions of lost people right around us. Lord, give us boldness to declare your word to those who are lost and dying right here in our neighborhood. Lord, help us to not shy away for a fear of persecution or a fear of mistreatment from those who we might share the gospel with. Lord, I ask again, if there is someone who is here today or listening online that doesn't know you as their Savior, that you would draw them to yourself and you would save them today. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Please feel free to share this message, but remember, don't charge for it. or change it. The Lord's message should be free and for everyone.